Good morning, everyone. This is Scott Mitchell with our, what, 25th? 26th?
25th.
There you 25th go. 25th show.
Right, craziness. Almost 6 months.
Here, I was scared to death to do the first one. Here, we've done 25 of them. Anyway, I want to welcome everyone to our show, which is called Let the Bible Speak. We are encouraging folks to just study the Bibles, try to forget what you've been taught, what you already know, and be honest, and just look at what the Bible actually says and go by that. I work with the church down at El Bethel, a little ways turn left out of the Crawford County High School parking lot where I'm sitting now, and you're about 3 miles down the road. And there is a giant cross-country meet going on today here at the high school, so lots of people up here. If you see a crowd, that's what's going on. I have a guest with me by the name of Tim Modlin today. He's been a friend of mine for, I don't know, a while now. I don't know how long. But a very trusted friend and an excellent Bible student, and certainly a role model for me to follow. And before we start, I got to tell a story, Tim, okay. Before I let you tell who you are. This morning, before...
You already told who I was.
I know, but you're going to tell more about yourself.
They don't want to know about me.
So I'm hooking my mowers up this morning because I needed to mow after the show today, and it's dark. I open my truck doors, and the lights are on, and I notice hornets start flying into my truck. And it's like the longer I stand there, there's more and more hornets. I probably had 50 hornets in my truck this morning. I could not figure out how to get them out of there. And so I turned the porch light on in my house, and some of them went over there. So I actually sprayed wasp hornet spray inside my truck, which, got some of them. Finally got them out, but I was so discombobulated that, I forgot what I had hooked up, hooked my trailer. When I pulled forward, I forgot to raise my jack up and broke my jack on my trailer. And then I went to start my walk behind the load it because I need to mow Wanda Kennedy's yard later on. And then I the pull string broke my walk behind, so I couldn't load my mower up. So it was a great start to the day, obviously.
Are you wanting to tell me this so you can borrow my mower?
No. Oh, okay. I've got my ride unloaded. Just an interesting morning, but I've never seen hornets do that. So if anybody out there knows what hornets attacked my truck in the dark when the lights were on, that would be great to know. Just interesting. I'd never seen it happen before, and so it was just really odd. So anyway, Tim, tell me about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? How long have you been a member of the church? That sort of thing.
Well, I've been a member. I was raised in the church. That's probably the best.
You're a lifer.
I'm a lifer, but it goes with our topic today. I remember my dad telling me, "I don't want you to believe things because that's what I believe." Mm-hmm. And even though I believe I was taught correctly, I still had to come to a point in my life where I had to make my faith my own.
Yeah.
And so I had to do my own investigation. And that's really what we're encouraging everyone else to do.
I told my kids, look, you can't become a Christian because that's what you think Dad wants you to do.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to work. So what we're talking about today is false teaching. And this goes way beyond, televangelists. It goes way beyond those things. We've got to be aware all the time what we hear. We've got to really think about things that we think we know, that we've always believed is true, and find out if they really are true. We can't ever say, well, Grandpa was so and so, or what about Dad? God will deal with those people and their hearts on His own. What we have to do as individuals is deal with God's Word and be responsible for ourselves to know what it says. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're going to talk about. What is false teaching? How do we know what false teaching is? How do we deal with it? And why is it enticing to people? Those kind of ideas is what I had in mind. But I was planning on being here by myself until 11:30 last night when you texted me and said, hey, do you need somebody? So I've got my notes. I know you've got yours, and yours are probably better than mine. So I'll probably divert the attention to you, and I'll just throw stuff in as I can. So how did you plan on start? Because that idea of those four questions, what is it, how do we know, why is it enticing, and what are we going to do about it, were the things I was going to talk about. While you have a kind of a chart on yours, how do you want to approach this?
Well, first, we've got our boys here listening.
We do. We have a live studio audience.
We have our studio audience. Our boys are listening. And they know when I've been teaching their classes that the last thing I want them to say to me is when they answer a question, well, that's what Dad says.
Yep. Or Tim, even worse than that, Tim says.
Yeah.
But anyway.
You better not say that. And so I have my boys. They've got their Bibles. I think Evan's got a...
He's got his device.
Yep. You got a Bible? Okay. So
now here's
that book, chapter, and verse for every answer you give us.
Absolutely. And, I've said this over... If somebody ever asks me a question and I say about the Bible, and I say, well, I think, they need to shut me down right there. If I don't say the Bible says or this is what the Bible says. They don't need to listen to me.
Yeah.
And so that's, and that, that's something I've been trying to get people to understand about that. Now there is, here's what people were, there's, and I had somebody say this to me. I've heard this in the church and people outside. People will say, well, we speak where the Bible speaks and we're silent where the Bible's silent. And that sounds really good.
Mm-hmm.
But then they turn around and say, well, the Bible doesn't say not to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're decent about doing what the Bible says, but sometimes we're not very good about leaving alone what the Bible doesn't say. And so some of that's going to come in what we're going to talk about today as well. Mm-hmm. So let's run. What you got?
Okay. Well, let's, a couple of things. Let's start with an admonition from Jesus over in Matthew chapter 7.
Oh, yes. Okay. There is a debate today in Salem at the Westside Church of Christ at 1 o'clock that I cannot go to, that I wanted to go to so bad, that's dealing with the AD 70 doctrine.
That's what it's about.
Right, there's a guy, John, whatever his name is, from Indianapolis, is coming down to debate. He's kind of like the lead dog in Indy, around Indy, for this movement that basically says that Jesus came back in AD 70 when Jerusalem was destroyed, and that the rest, I don't know what the rest of this time is, but he's coming, we've missed it. There's a billboard.
We're the remnants.
There's a billboard in Indy that says, it's already happened, you missed it. It's a great big, that referring to this.
And what would be the point exactly of any
Now,
of
who
that?
Preaches at Westside, because he's the one, George?
I'm not sure anymore.
Anyway.
It's George.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, okay. He's debating him today. They debated in Indy, and they're debating down here today.
Wow.
And that's exactly what we're talking about. They're going to open up the scriptures, mm-hmm. and they're going to consider what the Bible says on that topic.
Yep. And so it's either it will expose false teaching or it won't.
Right.
So that's what we're about today. So thank you, Jeff, for that. And
I don't read that in the Bible.
Wanda, if you're listening, we'll call you later. So anyway.
Matthew 7, Jesus is warning the people listening to his sermon here. He says in verse 15, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Mm-hmm. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles?" We were talking about this before the program started. A false teacher is not going to come up to tell you and say, "I'm a false teacher.
Watch out for me."
Yeah. I mean, they are going to try to pull the wool over your eyes, so to mm-hmm. speak, and espouse their own doctrine. So, And then one of Jesus's apostles, he takes this another step further in 1 John chapter 4.
Yeah.
He says, verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Mm-hmm. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is already in the world."
Yep.
Okay. The admonition there, the challenge there is, do not believe everything you're told.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are going to...
which goes back to, we mentioned Acts 17:11.
Yeah, let's go there.
Since you just said that, don't believe everything you're told, what did they do?
Well, let's go
in
to Acts...
In response.
Let's go to Acts 17:11. And this is really... this is really what we want to encourage everyone, because I think deep down everyone wants to be fair.
Yeah.
And that's what we want. We want an honest, fair examination of Scripture.
Yep.
And what's interesting in Acts chapter 17, it says in verse 10, "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." Now, if Paul's not afraid of this kind of investigation, if he was complimenting, this is Luke writing this, of course, but Luke is saying, you know, even what Paul said, these brethren in Berea, they looked to make sure it was what he said was so.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul would have it no other way.
You know, here's what people, if you disagree with us on this, on anything we say, that's fine. Call us and tell us. Number's 812-365-9864. You can call my cell phone later. It's 812-620-4034. But don't come to me and say, well, I feel this, or I think this, or, you know, this makes me happy. I don't care. You come to me with book, chapter, and verse.
Yeah, the only way you have a Bible discussion is with an open Bible.
And so make sure you, if I'm wrong, I'll change. But don't come with me with feelings and think so. That's not going to work.
Paul says in Galatians 1, it's an interesting thing that there as well. He says in verse 6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Now notice what he says in verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you from what ye have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. He's putting himself on notice.
Yes.
He said, if somehow I teach something that you haven't heard before, you better call me out on it.
Yep.
And so if an apostle is willing to do that, then, you know, we are too. And so it's just a matter of being fair, being honest, and look at the scriptures.
You know, as far as here's how I'll define false teaching. Just for those of you who are listening, what does he mean by false teaching? To me, truth is anything that aligns with what God has said. If it aligns with the Bible, then it's truth. If it doesn't align with it, it's not truth. So a false teaching would be anything that adds to, takes away from, contradicts, or tries to nullify the doctrine, you know, given by God, or that idea. And, you know, you just read, this started as early as the first century.
Mm-hmm.
What you just read in Galatians, you can go to Colossians 2:20, and it talks about, you know, this same kind of concept of people teaching things that wasn't in what they were taught. And that's false teaching. And so, I taught a Bible class last night to some teenagers, and I asked them, how do you know? No, I said, do you have to know every lie? And they're like, well, how can you?
You know?
So, but what can we know? Andrew, what can we know?
Not lying when it's sold to us.
How do we know?
Because you have to read the Bible.
Because we know the truth. Very good. So we talked about that last night. If we know the truth, we'll know a lie when we hear one. And that's how we defend ourselves against this mess.
Well, and it's basically, you know, the original. So if a counterfeit comes across at you, then you know it's counterfeit.
And now, folks, this is going to get down to where what I'm going to challenge people to do. You know, examine what you do in your church. Examine how you do what you do in your church. Examine what you use when you worship God in your church. Examine everything that you do and go back and check the Bible to see if that matches up with what the Bible says. If it adds to or it takes away from, you need to question what you're doing. And I think what about a lot of this is almost secondary in nature, because I think we forget a concept that I don't know that people really fully understand. I don't think people out there in the religious world really stop to think about the creator versus the created relationship. I'm going to say this time. If I say it twice, it's mine. But somebody told me this quote, and it was really good. I don't know who was it that said it, and I can't remember who told me. So after I say it, I'm going to say it twice during the show. Maybe then it'll be mine. He said, the problem is people have ideas, and then they act on them. Instead of sticking with what God says, they use their own stuff, and it gets them in trouble. And so now that I've said it once, I'll have a T-shirt made by you later, but then it'll be mine. But so go ahead with what you got. But folks, that's the concept for thinking. Think about everything you do religiously and stack it up against what the Bible says.
Well, we need to do this as individuals.
Yes.
We need to do this as churches. Mm-hmm. And I think you said that as well. And we're gonna use scriptures to prove all these points.
Yes.
Revelation chapter 2. The letters to the churches of Asia. In verse 1, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Now notice what he says in verse 2. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Those are all the positive things. So they had some problems in that church. He says, nevertheless, I have this against you. You have left your first love. He says, come back to me.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, he's complimenting them. Says, you've tested people.
Mm-hmm.
You found them out to be liars, and you stopped it.
Yep.
And so that was to their credit.
Yep.
And so as an individual, we need to be testing things out. Mm-hmm. As a congregation, we need to test things out. And if we find them to be liars, we need to change.
Yep.
And so that's... that's the admonition that's been given.
What would be enticing about this to someone? What are some reasons people fall into false teaching?
It sounds good.
That's certainly, I think that went along with it. I don't want to say ignorance as in stupidity. Stupidity is permanent. Ignorance is temporary. I mean, we need to divide those two. But if you're ignorant about God's word, you can't defend yourself. And some people who do appear to know God's word, like you said, something else sounds better.
Yeah, it sounds it's good. More it makes enticing, you feel good.
Which is what, isn't that what 2 Timothy 4? Yeah. Is that, are you anywhere near
I'm,
that?
I'm right there.
Well, go ahead.
2 Timothy 4, this is Paul admonishing a young preacher, and he's saying in verse 1 of chapter 4, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Now notice what he's saying, you need to do this because of this. Mm-hmm. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. First century, there was going to a time was coming. He says they're not going to endure sound doctrine. Based on what they want to hear, they're going to find somebody to tell them that. Mm-hmm. They've got itching ears. They're going to heap up for themselves these kinds of teachers. And they're going to do this, and they're going to turn us away from the truth to fables. Mm-hmm. So that was the warning. And so it happened then. It happens today.
Why does it matter so much? I mean, why would we take that hour out of our Saturday morning to talk about this to people?
Well, look at verse 1 again. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his mm-hmm. appearing.
So what gives him the right to do that? We get this down to just basic Christianity here. What gives Jesus the right to be our judge?
All authority has been given to him.
Okay.
I mean, that doesn't leave anything else for anybody.
No. And so what did he do? And we need to think, again, people know this, but what did he do to prove that he was willing to give it all?
Well, he died.
You know, folks, do you understand that concept?
Gave it all.
You know, this is not up to us to decide right and wrong. It's not up to us to say, well, I like that part, I don't like that part. Yeah, Jesus said that, but I don't really want that. And that Theron 2 weeks ago would have gone that. You know, this idea of saying, well, I know what it says, but I don't know. We don't have the right to do that. We have the responsibility to read this book and do what it says, and that's it. And we can't, and anything else is false teaching. And we've got to be honest about that and be willing to deal with that. And that's just how it has to be if we're going to be honest with ourselves and with God.
If somebody's not ready to take that leap to sign on to what you just said, you kind of have to start at a different point.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Because there's a lot of people that don't necessarily respect the Bible anymore, mm-hmm. and that's a shame. Yep. But we got to start at a different point with them.
So, and I'll say that a lot of times. You know, we can't start this conversation in the middle.
Yep.
So if you want to go back and study, I'll be glad to sit down with anybody who has questions about where the Bible came from and why is it relevant and why mm-hmm. does it matter and what, you know, how do we know? That's what we're trying to do. We've got real quick. There's a technical thing that needs to be explained.
Right.
About what's going on here this morning with all of our new technology.
Our new technology. Just very briefly, this will be kind of confusing to folks listening on air and to the CDs, but this might be important for folks that are tying into Facebook Live. We're doing an experiment this morning. We've continued to use Scott's phone, which we've used in the past for the Facebook Live feed, with usually success, but we're also attempting to use WBRO's own in-studio camera. And so you're going to actually see two Facebook Live videos. And the one that is tall that you're looking at possibly is the one from Scott's phone. And we have difficulty making out the conversation. So if the audio and everything's working good on the other feed, we can interact with you there and we can read your comments more clearly. So if both feeds are working well, we can actually converse with you online actively in real time on the other feed.
Yeah.
But it's an experiment, and if one feed fails for some reason, hopefully the other one stays up. But this is an experiment. Maybe in the future we'll just stick with one and that'll work.
Yeah.
So just to avoid some confusion for the folks on Facebook Live, and thank you for your time there.
Thanks. Thank you very much. So anyway, lots going on. If you just join us, this is a radio show called let the Bible speak. And what we're trying to do is just do that, study the Bible, and just be honest with it and do what it says. Tim, carry on, brother.
Well, back over to Matthew 7, we read earlier about the warning of false prophets. And it's interesting because Jesus takes that even one step further. He says in verse 21, he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Mm-hmm. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" So he has the final say.
Yeah.
John chapter, I think it's John chapter 12. I hate to say, I'm not going to say think. I'm going to go there and find out. John chapter 12. Right side of the page, I think. Let's go there. Yeah, John chapter 12, verse 47. "If anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." So the words have been given. That's the scripture.
Yeah.
If you choose to accept it, great. He's going to accept you. If you choose to reject it, he's going to reject you.
So, thinking out loud again, which sometimes gets me into trouble. Let's say somebody's listening and says, "Well, what's wrong with what you know? This, what we're doing is good. I mean, it makes people happy. It makes them feel good. How can that possibly be wrong? What can be wrong with it?" Well, so, how do we deal with something that is outside the bounds? You know, John 8, 31 and 32, I've said those verses a lot. Jesus said, we'll go there and read it. I know what it says, but I want everybody to know that exactly what it says. And I've used these verses lots of times on here. John 8, 31 and 32 says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, 'If you abide in my word,'" and when you get into 1 John, the word abide comes up lots and lots, "'if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" Okay, so if we abide in my word, you'll know the truth, and truth will set you free. What if somebody's doing something that Jesus didn't explicitly say to do? How can we know if it's okay or not? Or can we know if it's okay or not?
It's got to be in harmony with Scripture.
Okay.
I mean, that's the bottom line. I'm looking for a passage here that you reminded me of. Yeah. The Apostle Paul dedicated his life after Damascus to bring as many people to Christ as he could. And he was diligent in that mm-hmm. task. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, well, let's see what we should pick up here. Let's start in verse 19. I think that's far enough ahead. He says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more." Okay, he's mm-hmm. trying not to win. And as this book points out in chapter 1, he wasn't trying to create followers of Paul. He wanted to create followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus. He says in verse 20, "And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law." Okay, stop there. What he was saying is he would do whatever it took mm-hmm. as far as to reach out to the Jews. Sometimes he'd go to synagogues and teach to them.
We talk about meeting people where they are.
That's
what he's talking about.
But there's one big qualifier that he puts in here. You can't just stop in verse 20, verse 21. "To those who are without law, as without law," parenthetically, "not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ." Okay, anything he did, it had to be based upon the fact it did not violate the law of Christ.
Yeah.
If it did, he didn't do it. Mm-hmm. He had a lot of leeway there, but if it violated the law of Christ, he would not go there. Mm-hmm. And so that's an example of someone who is showing us how to apply Scripture.
Yep. Now, folks, here's what my plan is for the future. I don't know how soon this will happen, hopefully really soon. I'm planning on taking a show and introducing the idea of when some false teaching showed up in history and examine those things, and so we can see when things were added that we assume have always been there that haven't. And so we're laying a foundation for this and kind of building these principles. And when we go back and look at that stuff, hopefully people will say, oh, and at least study it. I don't expect the radio program to change you. I expect you to take what we've said and study it for yourselves and say, okay, yes or no, and then correct me if I'm wrong. You know, that's what I expect phone calls if I'm wrong. Otherwise, you're saying, well, he's just wrong, and he's just going to go to hell, and I don't care. And I don't want that. I don't think that's what anybody wants. But if I'm wrong, call me and tell me. Or if Tim's wrong, I'll tell him. But still, just kidding. But
you better have a chapter and verse.
That's exactly right. And believe me, I know that with you. So yep. And I'm glad to know that. So that's what we're trying to do, folks, is build a foundation here, getting you to be honest with what the Bible says. And trust it. And don't trust man. Don't trust a creed book. Don't trust a handbook. Don't trust whatever. It has to be the Bible. Otherwise, who knows if it's okay. If we aren't sure whether it's okay, then it's up to our judgment, which is always going to lead us down the wrong path. It's Jeremiah 10:23. It's not within man to direct his own steps. Stop trying to do that. Tim, open your Bible up again.
There's an example, and this is really an extreme example.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe people want to have this thought of them. But if they find a passage in Scripture they don't like,
yeah,
and just say, I understand what you believe, I understand what it's saying, I just don't want to do it.
Yeah.
This is what it's like. And it's a really graphic example in Jeremiah chapter 36. Verse 1, it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take a scroll of a book and write on it all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel, against Judah, and against all the nations from the day I spoke to you, from the days of Josiah even to this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the adversities which I purpose to bring upon them, and every one may turn from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote on a scroll of a book, at the instruction of Jeremiah, all the words of the Lord which he had spoken to him. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am confined, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. You go, therefore, and read from the scroll which you have written at my instruction, the words of the Lord in the hearing of the people in the Lord's house in the day of fasting. And you shall also read them in the hearing of all Judah who come from their cities. Now, goes on through there and tells about him reading it. The king is Jehoiakim.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's move on down. You can read this more on your own later. But in verse 20, they went to the king and to the court, but they stored the scroll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe and told all the words in the hearing of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to bring the scroll, and he took it from Elishama the scribe's chamber. And the Jehudi read it in the hearing of the king and in the hearing of all the princes who stood before the king. Now the king was sitting in the winter house in the ninth month with a fire burning on the hearth before him. And it happened when Jehudi had read three or four columns that the king cut it with the scribe's knife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until as the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. That would be like me taking and saying, okay, I don't like what this says, I'm just going to rip it out of my Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Or cut that verse out of my Bible.
Which people do.
And that didn't work for Jehoiakim. Just because he didn't like it, burned it, didn't mean it wasn't going to happen.
That's true.
And, you know, that's the key. I think this ends down in verse 32. Then Jeremiah took another scroll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote on it the instruction of Jeremiah, all the words. It wasn't going to change it.
No.
I mean, even if that one got destroyed, it's not changing. Mm-hmm. You can burn Bibles. It doesn't
change the truth.
Doesn't get rid of God's word.
Yep. Okay. We're at the top of the hour, so we have to do our mandatory by law acknowledgement of where we are and what we're doing.
You're listening to Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak on WBRO 89.9 FM, broadcasting from beautiful Marengo, Indiana.
Excellent.
Good job.
Very good.
Good job.
All right. So here's what this boils down to, and going back to the creator-created thing. Is are we willing to simply do what God has said to do? You know, if I was listening, Lou Sig sent me a video the other day about of a guy who was just, it really helped me. It's stuff you already know, but stuff that reinforces. You know, if God said, anybody that's over 6'2", has to stand on their head. Well, what would I do? I would try to stand on my head. Or what if he said, well, anybody over 6'2 can't get married? Would I like that? Maybe not, but would I have to do that? Because he's the curator and I'm the creator and I don't get to change what he said. Now, he hasn't asked us to do those kind of things. But if he did, he's God, he has that right. Mm-hmm. And we have to submit to that kind of idea to be a servant of his. And that's why it's important that we look at what we're doing to make sure that is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. I think there's probably a lot of people out there doing stuff, going about their day, thinking they're doing what God has said, and they don't even know what they're doing is biblical or not. And that's the idea of submitting when it comes to acknowledging the truth of what Jesus said, abide in my words. Well, do we have his words? Yes. And it's those, Tim read a verse earlier, that these words are what's going to judge us. Why would we want to step outside the bounds to something that we aren't sure of if we've got what we know for sure is his word? That's the idea we're trying to get through here. Tim, I know you see you flipping around over there again.
Well, I guess everybody else saw that too.
Yeah, I like it.
Acts 26. The Apostle Paul, he's making his defense before Agrippa, mm-hmm. and he's basically talking about his life prior to everything that's happened, why he's on trial and that kind of thing. But in verse 9, he says, indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Mm-hmm. This I also did in Jerusalem. Many of the saints I shut up in prison. I mean, he had people executed, mm-hmm. and he did this. There's another passage, let's see, I think it's in chapter 23. Chapter 23, verse 1. He looked earnestly at the council and said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. You know, he thought he was doing the right thing, mm-hmm. but he thought he was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing with him. And when he learned the truth, he changed. Again, that goes back to what we started from with, you know, you want to have an honest heart. You want to be fair. And I believe the Apostle Paul was honest and fair his whole life. But he was wrong. And when he found out he was wrong, he made changes. He was honest enough to make the changes.
Yep. So in terms, as far as being honest, this is, I've got this. I need to go back through it. Psalm 119. is a wonderful study. The whole book, the whole chapter is rather well. All the whole Bible is about. I mean, this is something that there's a lot of really. It's really rich material. But in Psalm 119, beginning in verse 57. Now we know everybody knows Psalm 119, 105, and 6. That's where it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules." Let's jump over to verse 57. Says, the Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your word. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think of my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten not, do not delay to keep your commandments. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. At midnight, I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. That's what we're asking for today. Mm-hmm. That's what God wants for us to be. That's how we need to treat his word every day. And that's the approach we've got to take with it. Otherwise, we end up where Paul was. We'll be wrong, sincerely wrong. Mm-hmm. But we're still wrong. And we have to avoid that because that's not what God wants for us. And, you know, there are people going to be people out there saying, why don't you think you're carrying that a little bit too far? I mean, you know, that's a little bit, you've been a little tight with, you know, what we can do there. Wow. If Jesus said, abide in my word, we have his word. Why not just stay with it?
I know when Mary Beth and I got married, one of the comments after the service was, boy, those vows were strict. Mm-hmm. They are. Until death do you part. Mm-hmm. Only one exception for a divorce.
Yep.
I mean, it's...
Yep. You know, some of the things we hear today, false teaching things about people in general. Well, you know, boys will be boys. Hey, Emma. And Or, you know, well, you know, they're young, and so, you know, they're going to make mistakes. It's okay. Well, we've got to expect more of our young people than, well, boys will be boys. And, well, you know, they're teenagers. They can, you know, they'll make – why not hold everybody to a higher standard than that? Because if we really expect failure, what are we going to get?
Failure.
So if we go into marriage saying, well, I'll give it – here's what I heard. When Tina and I first got married, I was happy about being married. People said, well, you'll give it a year. You'll see. Well, and then it was after a year, well, give it 5 years. You'll see. You'll see. After five was, well, give it 10 years and you'll know. Well, it's been more than that now, 20-something, seven maybe. I don't even know anymore. It's been such wonderful years, I forgot to count them. But if you go into that expecting to fail, you will. If we go into God's word saying, well, you know, it is his word, you know, but it's old and, you know, it's kind of outdated. So we'll keep some of it, not, you know, we'll keep what we want. Folks, that's dangerous. And we've got to be more careful with God's word than that. We really have to be.
You know, some folks, they like to say, well, it is. It's a 2,000-year-old book.
Yep.
And why should I listen to a 2,000-year-old book?
Yep.
What's interesting is...
you got the old paths verse?
Yeah, Jeremiah chapter 6. Yeah. Now, he's writing around 605, mm-hmm. that time frame, time when Jerusalem was destroyed by Babylon, okay?
Yep. Yep.
What's interesting is that, okay, Moses... spoke around 1500 BC.
Mm-hmm.
So what's my math there? Around 900 years?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
In Jeremiah 6, there's a warning given in verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the way and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Mm-hmm. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. You know, so they just said, no, we aren't going to do it. And he says, no, this is where it is. And so just because you think it might be outdated doesn't mean it's not relevant to you. Verse 16. Yep. I think there's a similar passage spoken by Moses in Deuteronomy 32. Shannon had this in his lesson at Galena last week. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father and he will show you. Your elders and they will tell you. You know, that was admonishing the children. Okay, ask your dad, ask your granddad about what happened before.
Yeah.
Okay, because they needed to remember those old things that had happened.
Because it matters.
Yeah.
Here's, I guess, people have heard so much about, maybe it's easier to just kind of dismiss the Bible because we've heard so much about it being old, that, you know, science is, we've moved past that because we know so much more in science now. We've studied history and we've moved past that. The challenge is, that's not what science says. The challenge is history backs up everything. Again, if you're in that position of, well, I don't really trust the Bible, we're starting in the wrong place. We got to go back and look at this, you know, that the Bible was written over the course of 1,500 years by 40 people on three continents and three languages, and there are no contradictions. We got to go back and look at those things. We got to go back and look at history and how it lines up when you study the Assyrians and Babylonians and what they were doing in the world at the time, then when they thought they were in control, when it was God the whole time. But history backs up what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can't dismiss the Bible. Don't believe that. Don't believe that if that's what you've been taught. Study it for yourself and convince yourselves that the Bible is the inspired, infallible, eternal Word of God, and treat it that way.
Amen.
Otherwise, it's just up to opinion, and we can all be right. I mean, Theron can start his church, Matt can start his church, I can have the Church of Scott, you can have the first, whatever it is, the first, whatever, Church of Timothy, whatever, yeah. and do it, and nobody could say we were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of what's happened in the world, but we'll have to get to that at a later show.
Well, what we're trying to do today is what Jude tells us in verse 3 of his short book. He says, Beloved, I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation. I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints.
Yeah.
I mean, it's it's been given one time, and that's it.
And what does that mean, once for all? What does the word once mean?
Guys, what's the word once mean? There you go. Singular, there you go.
So it actually means once, like one?
Can't be more once-er.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Ephesians 4, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, you know. You have to be dishonest to not understand what that means. That's saying it kind of bluntly.
Yeah.
But once is once. All is all. I mean, Jesus has all authority. No one else has any authority. Jesus has it all. So once for all.
The reason I know that was a dumb question, but people seem to think that Bible doesn't mean what it says.
Right.
So that's why I asked that dumb question. So.
But it doesn't negate the fact that we still have to investigate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've been trying to challenge people today. Because, you know, let's go over to Ephesians 4. Because this has to throw some questions to folks.
Did you say Ephesians 4?
Ephesians 4.
Because I've got some Ephesians 4 notes and my stuff too, but go ahead.
Verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
Mm-hmm.
One is one, and people get that. And so the challenge is to see if your one matches with this one.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, then you need to change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're trying to say is we're open to investigation.
Yeah.
And we have to be able to investigate.
Yeah.
If you get to the point where you're saying, well, we're just going to agree to disagree.
Yep.
That's not the way to approach Scripture.
Now, there are things we can agree to disagree on, like what color pads we're going to put on the pews.
Right.
Or do we pad them or not?
But we cannot disagree on doctrine.
No. You know, what color the curtains are going to be. Do we carpet the floor or do we get new carpet? We can, you know, we can discuss those things.
Right. Anything.
Those things aren't Scripture.
No.
But, you know, Ephesians 4:1 says, either for a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. I mentioned this last night, you know, Titus, isn't it Titus 2:14 that says that the grace of God has appeared bringing salvation?
Mm-hmm.
That's the call, folks. So how do you walk worthy of Christ dying on a cross and living the life he lived and the things he had to do? How do you live worthy of that? Is it by saying, well, I know what the Bible says, gong over there, but I don't think I don't think that's what I like about it. I don't. Go ahead, Theron.
There you go.
Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, verse 2, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. How do we walk as he walked? I think he's told us.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep telling kids, Christianity is not and has never been rocket science. We have a rocket scientist standing here. He knows if it was rocket science, I would fail it. It is not rocket. Folks, we read it, we do it, or we read it and we don't do it. That's just, it's as simple as it gets. What do you have, Tim?
Well, I thought maybe it would be good. We've got about 15 minutes to go here. I thought maybe it would be good to contrast how the speakers, false teachers, how they approach the word,
mm-hmm.
and how someone who is sincerely trying to teach the word approaches the word.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2, excuse me, and look at some scripture there. First, let's begin in excuse me, verse 19. We also have the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed as the light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Okay, we believe the Bible is the inspired word of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Peter is saying there. It wasn't, I think. This was what the Holy Spirit guided these men to speak.
Mm-hmm.
He said 40 men over 1,500 years. That,
mm-hmm.
Okay. chapter 2, verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. So just be aware that there are going to be people who are going to try to exploit you with deceptive words.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about itching ears, that type of thing. But look down into verse 18 of this chapter. Pardon me. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure you, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through licentiousness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. Great swelling words of emptiness. That's the thing where it says, oh, it sounds so good. Swelling words of emptiness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's fluff stuff. Fluff preaching.
Swelling words of emptiness.
Okay. Yep. It's not sound. Now, let's contrast that. There are some passages. And you go, well, how can I know what's being told to me is true? We've already kind of talked mm-hmm. about that already. But let's give you a few more things. And this is a challenge to somebody who wants to teach. Let's go to Acts chapter 8.
Okay.
This is the story of the Ethiopian eunuch and his conversion, and Philip, who was challenged or instructed by the Holy Spirit to go and speak with him. Verse 26 talks about the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and says, go mm-hmm. down on this road to Gaza. Verse 27, there's a man of great authority, a eunuch from Ethiopia. He has come to Jerusalem to worship. And verse 28, he's returning to Ethiopia. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, there's an honest heart
mm-hmm.
who says, I don't know unless somebody helps me out here. Well, does Philip get in the chariot with him and start saying, well, I think this is what you should do? Philip gets in the chariot with him and says, verse 32, the place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearers, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth?
Mm-hmm.
So the eunuch answered him, Philip, and said, I ask you, of whom does this the prophet say, this of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him.
Mm-hmm.
And we go through the rest of this where what he needed to do as far as being baptized, that type of thing was told him. But the point from this that I want to get out is Philip took him where he was and took him where he needed to be, but he used scripture to do it. This has been the plan God has had all along. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. verse 14. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?
Which goes to 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, where right. Paul said, you teach people so they can teach people so right. they can teach people. That's the same concept.
And
that's how we know.
Right. And I'm about to lose my voice here.
You're doing great. There's water right there.
Well, I mean, let's get over to Nehemiah 8.
All right.
Nehemiah chapter 8. Let's see if I can get there. I love this section. This is one of those books. It's kind of chronologically, it's in the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
This is after the captivity. They've come back, and the people are gathered, it says in verse 1, the people are gathered in the open square by the water gate. And in verse 3, it says, verse 2, Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday, mm-hmm. before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Can you imagine listening this long?
No, I got in trouble for preaching for 50 minutes the other day. So I didn't really get in trouble, but anyway. It was acknowledged. It was acknowledged.
You got some bad looks.
Well, let's just look at the folks here. Verse 4. So Ezra, the scribe, stood on a platform of wood which they had made for the purpose. And beside him, and I'm going to butcher these names, at his right hand stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Urijah, Hilkiah, and Messiah. And at the left hand, I'm just going to skip those
some other
names.
Folks.
But verse 5. And mm-hmm. So Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the respect they're showing for the word yep. of God. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And then all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their heads, their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Now notice what these individuals, these names I can't pronounce, but it says with these people and the Levites, verse 7, they mm-hmm. helped the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. Now how did they help them understand the law? Mm-hmm. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them understand the reading.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, they didn't, it wasn't I thinks. It was they read distinctly from the book. They gave the sense, or in other words, they gave the context.
Yeah.
You know, we can take verses out of context and make them say anything we wanted to say. But they read distinctly, gave the sense of the context, and helped the people understand the reading. And so that's how you put people up to that standard, whether they are teaching you truth or not.
Yeah. And we have to, you know, it's interesting. Ecclesiastes 5:1, I ran across this verse. I actually literally ran across it by accident when I was flipping through. It just opened up to this page. Ecclesiastes 5:1 says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know what they are doing. So there were people here sacrificing to God in a way he had not prescribed, and they were fools for doing it. He says it's better just to come listen rather than make something up for yourself. God's no different today than he was then. We need to listen. We need to read the book and listen and let him speak. Oh, that reminds me of a talk show, Let the Bible Speak. But anyway, that was not intended, but it's come up that way. So, Tim, what did you just turn to, by the way?
Well, I mean, we have examples of this happening in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
There's a real sad one over in the book of 1 Kings 13. We have a younger prophet, and he is sent by God to Jeroboam. To basically tell Jeroboam, said, you know, you haven't been doing what you're supposed to do, and God's going to punish you.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 1, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Then he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a child Josiah by name shall be born to the house of David, and on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar shall split apart, and the ashes on it shall be poured out. So it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God who cried out against the altar in Bethel, that he stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, arrest him. And his hand which he had stretched out toward him withered so that he could not pull it back to himself. And the altar was split in the next verse. Well, this young prophet did what he was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's one story. Then in verse 12, it says, then the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. I mean, Jeroboam's hand was restored, and the king said, oh, I'm kind of glad that it's not going to be like that the rest of my life. And mm-hmm. so he says, I'd like to thank you. And he says, but the man of God said to the king, if you were to give me half your house, I would not go into with you, nor will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall not eat bread nor drink water, nor return by the same way you came. So he went another way and did not return by the way he came to Bethel. Mm-hmm. So he had the truth. He had given the truth to Jeroboam. He knew what God had told him to do. He says, I can't go this way. I got to go another way.
Yeah.
And so he's doing that. I don't know why this other person comes on the scene to meddle, but there's an older prophet that hears what's happened. He sends his sons out, and they intercept this guy. And in verse 18, he said to him, I am too a prophet as you are. Oh, wait, we need to. He says in verse 15, come home with and eat bread with me. And it sounds good enough, sounds innocent. He said, I cannot return with you nor go in with you, neither can I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For I have been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread nor drink water there nor return by going the way you came. And he said, I too am a prophet as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. Now it happened as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. And he cried out to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, you have disobeyed the word of the Lord and have not kept the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you. But you came back, ate bread. He was killed on the way home.
Mm-hmm.
The thing was, this prophet said, an angel told me. What did Paul say? But if we are an angel from heaven.
Yep.
And it says here the prophet lied to him. And so just because somebody who you might respect, somebody who might be older than you, if their sayings, their teaching doesn't line up with what God says, you got to go the other way.
But they're such good speakers.
Yeah.
You know? They sound so good.
Yeah.
They can't be wrong. But they are.
But look at the penalty here.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention this, and my daughter Emma is probably waiting on me to say this. There is a book out there that if you want to be serious about studying the Bible and treating it with the proper authority, it is by a guy named Doy Moyer. Write it down. The book is called Mind Your King. And it goes through lots of good things about authority of Scripture and how to treat it and why it's authoritative and goes through some topics. But it's called Mind Your King by a gentleman named Doy Moyer. I'm going to go listen to him this summer at some preacher training on Thursday and Friday this summer. He's going to cover that book. I've read it. I'm going to read it again and probably again. I highly recommend it to everyone. Outside, of course, if you're just going to pick one book to read, read the Bible. But if you want something that somebody wisely talks about the Bible, go to that book to help you understand how to treat it with the type of authority that needs to be treated with. Just wanted to throw that out before I forgot. What else do you have, big boy? We're about out of time.
How much time do we have?
2 minutes.
We have 2 minutes?
You can go over.
We can go a little over.
You can go over.
Okay, well, let's look at another example. I like this one. Acts chapter 5.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Acts 5. Heading there.
Acts chapter 5. The apostles are brought in and said, hey guys, you got to stop teaching about Jesus. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's this cut to the chase. That's what they said. Verse 29, then Peter and the apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Can we get an amen on that one?
Amen. Right?
The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging him on a tree. And God has exalted his right hand to be a prince and savior, to give repentance and to Israel and remission, forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things and also to the Holy Spirit that God has given to those who obey him. Verse 33, when they heard this, they were furious and took counsel to kill them. Then one in the council, one of the Sanhedrin, that's the council, stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. Now, I want you to notice what he does here. I hope we don't go too long here.
We'll be all right.
He says in verse 35, men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. he also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. So there were some people who claimed to be something when they were nothing. Mm-hmm. Got some people convinced,
and which is people, all of us, by the way. But go ahead.
But and they got the, and he got these people killed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Gamaliel goes on, and now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you be found to fight against God.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea here is Gamaliel is saying, you know, if this is fake, it's going to go away. It'll die a slow death, mm-hmm. a quick death, like these other guys did. This is still here 2,000 years ago. So I think Gamaliel said, you know, it must be from God then.
Yep, must be.
Even though, you know, he's a Jew at this time, yep, in the Sanhedrin. So
now, folks, we've not even come close to studying everything I wanted to get to today. We did not get to John, 1 John chapter 2. Go read 1 John chapter 2 and read what it says about abiding in Jesus, walking as Jesus walked. We don't have time to get to it. We didn't look at Matthew 16 or as a lot of Matthew. We did read Matthew 7, some of those things. There are lots of things we did not get to today. But the idea is, let's treat God's word with the reverence it needs to be treated with, and stop trying to put into it our think-sos and our likes and take out of it our dislikes. That's the point of this. And so we're about finished. I know Theron probably has some kind of closing he wants to do before we go. Tim, would you like to say anything to the people before we close this out?
Well, we'll just go with your show's title, Let the Bible Speak.
Let the Bible Speak, folks. Look, I love all of you. Come see me at Al Bethel. Sunday morning, 9:30 Bible study, 10:30 worship. We study a little building over the hill at 7 o'clock on Wednesday nights. John Bingham is actually going to be in this Sunday talking about truth. So come listen. Wednesday night, we're going to be in 1 John chapter 3. So come out and study with us and help us and encourage us that way, and we will be doing the same for you. I promise you, if you come to El Bethel, you will not ever hear anybody say, at least not me, this is what I think. I will say this is what the Bible says on every single subject we talk about. So let it speak to you, folks, and let's be honest with it. Theron, you have anything?
You've been listening to Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak on WBRO 89.9 FM, broadcasting from
beautiful Marengo, Indiana.
Thank you, Matt, very much.
Thank you, guys.
And this is the most recorded show we've ever had. We have two video feeds, we have three video feeds, multiple audio feeds. And so we'll be picking through and finding the best audio to post to the website. That website is letthebiblespeak.faith. Again, an unusual website, but a very good one. letthebiblespeak.faith. And so the audio will be posted shortly, perhaps tomorrow, but by the end of this weekend it should be up. And there's also our Facebook page. That's Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak. Just search for Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak, and you'll find what we hope are two good video feeds of today's show. And we appreciate your time this morning. Have a great day.
Thank you all very much.